Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, as we are inside the Super Chevy dealer studio. And joining us now, it's attorney Tom Mars, who's an expert when it comes to buyouts and college football coaches. And LSU, as we all know, owes Brian Kelly $52.3 million in the press release that Scott Woodward issued on Sunday night, saying that terms of the buyout are still being negotiated. But is there really any, I guess we'll cut right to the chase here, Tom, and again, thanks for joining us today. I mean, is there really any wiggle room here for LSU to lower the amount of that buyout, especially if Brian Kelly never works as a college football coach again?
Well, yeah, there is some wiggle room if Coach Kelly decides to be charitable, generous, and in every case, people can modify a contract, and the parties are free to do that in this case. So he could agree to take millions of dollars less in exchange for whatever LSU has to trade. The problem for LSU is they don't really have much to trade with. I think the core of the problem from a fan standpoint is most people understandably don't know about the details of these buyout agreements. And, you know, it might be helpful, I don't know, but it might be helpful for me to just explain how these buyout agreements work.
Go ahead.
Well, unlike in the past, in today's world, the back end of a head coach college sports contract is probably more important than anything else. And these are the provisions of the contract that define the party's obligations and expectations if the contract is terminated before the end of its term. I sometimes think about these contracts as the prenup equivalent in college sports. But there are three scenarios in every head coach contract which deal with the termination of the contract before its contractual term, whether it's 5 years or 10 years. The first scenario is the coach leaves before the end of the term of the contract, usually to take a job at another school. If that happens, the contract defines a certain amount called liquidated damages that the coach must pay the school he's leaving. And as you guys know, that payment is usually made, almost always made, but not always, by the school he's leaving to go join their team. So in most cases, that really doesn't cost the coach anything. The second scenario is when the university fires the coach for cause. And what constitutes for cause is specifically defined in the contract. It's usually a laundry list of things like getting arrested, doing things that are going to damage the university's reputation, and so forth. There's a laundry list of those things in every head coach contract. In that scenario, the parties agree that the university will not have to pay the head coach anything, not one dime, other than the salary and the benefits, like health insurance, for example, that he's already earned. On the date of his termination, he's not owed anything else. The third scenario, and the one I assume your listeners are most interested in, is when the university fires a head coach without cause, which is commonly referred to in the industry as a termination for convenience. Perhaps a better description of that scenario would be a termination because the coach didn't win enough games consistently enough or fast enough, because that's the scenario, well, that's what it should be called. In that scenario, the university agrees to pay the head coach what's called a buyout, which in every contract is based on the years remaining on the coach's contract and the amount of his base salary.
So what do you think are the chances of Brian Kelly not getting that full $52.3 million buyout or very close to it?
Approximately zero.
Okay. And why is that?
That's what I think. Because the university is no different than anybody else who enters into a contract. I said this kind of facetiously on Twitter. You know, this for LSU to be relieved of its obligation to pay the full buyout would be kind of like calling Chase Bank when you want to pay your car off and asking them if you can just pay it off for half of what you owe or two-thirds
right.
of what you owe.
Right.
And unless, I don't know Brian Kelly, I'm a technician. Maybe, you know, somebody said I'm the enforcer of bad decisions. But I don't know Brian Kelly, but he would have to be a charitable, generous guy to agree to receive anything significantly less than what he's owed.
Right, right. Talking to Tom Mars, a college football buyout contract expert here on Tiger Rag Radio. And I want to read you this quote from LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward on Sunday, Tom. He said, "We will continue to negotiate his separation and will work toward a path that is better for both parties." How can it get better for Brian Kelly? What do you think Scott Woodward means by that?
I think what he really means is he hopes it gets better for Scott, because he's not in a very good situation, because he's the guy who made the decision to enter into this contract thinking Brian Kelly was the right guy for the job. I'm not being critical of him. Well, I guess I am, because I kind of wondered why he would have done this. But in any event, you know, that's the deal he made, and he doesn't want to have to live with it now. But, you know, let me go back to real quickly to the
sure.
prenup analogy. This is the reality of, and this isn't just my opinion, all I do anymore, 100% of what I do is in college sports. About 80 to 90% is representing athletic directors and head coaches. And so this isn't just my opinion. This is based on conversations I've had with lots of ADs. The reason I say these contracts are like a prenup is because, much like a prenup, when the parties enter into the contract, they're in love with each other. They're looking forward to this great long relationship that's going to be mutually beneficial, and they're in love with each other. And that's the reason these buyouts get entered into in the first place, because when a school gets fixated on hiring a coach and their fan base gets fixated on it, then their boosters get fixated on it, then their board gets fixated on it. And as we can see from lots of examples, this one being the latest, they're willing to make decisions that defy every rule of financial stewardship and good business management that applies in every other industry. This is the only industry where all those rules go out the window, because on the front end, it's an emotional decision. Well, let's go to the back end. It's like a prenup there, too. Well, let's suppose these people who are in love, well, it didn't work out so great. That's the risky run when you enter into a contract having expectations that don't fit reality. And that's exactly what's been going on in college football for the last several years. I've been doing this almost exclusively for, I think, 7 or 8 years now.
But if Brian Kelly does get another job as a head coach, or what if he gets a job in media? Could that buyout be mitigated then at that point, that he would receive less from LSU based on the compensation he receives for his next job?
Yes, that's really at the core of the issue here. So in most, but not all cases, but most, the vast majority of cases, the amount of the university's buyout obligation is offset by whatever income the head coach earns during the buyout period in another job, which is usually limited to coaching, but sometimes includes income earned from being a media analyst or any income earned in connection with college or professional sports. The contracts vary from one to another, but that's generally what they say. And so Brian Kelly, under his part of the agreement, is not allowed to just sit around at the lake house and watch television. He's obligated to exercise good faith to try to get another comparable job. But that doesn't mean he has to take the best paying job available that's, you know, in some hellhole someplace that he never lived and would never want to live. And all of these provisions, and I've seen dozens of them, and I've actually been to federal court over one of them for Brett Bielema, they're all written so vaguely with imprecise language that it would be really surprising if any university could ever enforce what the universities, what Arkansas tried to do against Brett Bielema, is to say, you haven't exercised your obligation to find the best paying job, even though you've joined the New England Patriots as a defensive line coach and a special assistant to the head coach. It's not the best paying job, therefore we're not going to pay you anymore. Well, that didn't work out. And I don't think that if LSU has in mind that they're going to take the position that Brian Kelly hasn't done what he was supposed to do, to exercise good faith to find another job. I hear people say, well, this is, you know, going to be decided in the state of Louisiana, and now everybody hates Brian Kelly because he's supposedly a bad guy, and therefore he couldn't win a lawsuit. Well, I say to LSU, good luck with that.
I'm talking to Tom Mars here. You know, LSU never actually said that Brian Kelly was fired without cause. They didn't use those words. What if they something is uncovered over the next few days or weeks or months that LSU can say, oh, we fired him with cause because of this incident that before wasn't made public? Would that change things? Like if there was an arrest or something, people are talking about a moral code. What if something like that rose up?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's the next most obvious ploy that universities will use to try to get out of paying a buyout. And it started with David Beatty at Kansas. Jeff Long was the athletic director. He was fired without cause initially. And then Jeff Long commissioned a witch hunt to see if they could find some dirt on David Beatty, and then retroactively tried to terminate him for cause and not pay his buyout.
A cause hunt, you might say.
yeah, exactly. Well, that didn't work out very well either. I was not the lawyer of record in that case, but I was working with David Beatty behind the scenes. And by the time Kansas settled with David Beatty, if you added the attorney's fees that Kansas spent, which were a matter of public record, they ended up having to pay more than they would have had to pay if they just paid him his buyout in the first place. And I've also litigated in federal and state court this very situation where the university tried to escape from having to pay this buyout by manufacturing grounds for cause. And that case, too, was settled with the coach receiving the vast majority of his buyout. That's a tactic that has never been successful for any school. And because it's been unsuccessful so many times, I kind of think that schools would be reluctant to try that again, because that's a tough road to hoe. Now, if it turns out that Brian Kelly, if it turns out that, you know, Brian Kelly has a rap sheet a mile long that university didn't know about it, you know, well, then they got it out. But, you know, finding some grounds retroactively, not only is that a pretty stupid way to try to stiff a head coach, but it just wouldn't work.
Tom, thanks a lot for your insight. We'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. A lot of buyout money being paid right now to these coaches. So I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Mars, an expert when it comes to contracts with college football coaches and athletic directors. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back.